Tonight I want to really encourage you along some things and just point out something that the Lord shared with me here not too long ago. Open up first to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. I learned a while back to never say, we shouldn't be long tonight. Because every time I say it, you know, I end up eating my words and repenting. Oh, God, I'm sorry. It's like he says, I'll show you. You'll figure out who's in charge. Luke chapter 9. And let's take a look here. Let's see. We'll pick it up in verse 1. Jesus, it says, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Now, if you jump over to chapter 10. Now, when he sent them out to do that, do you believe that they did it? Well, it says so. In Luke 9, verse 6, it says, they departed and went through the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Healing everywhere. And in chapter 10, Jesus had been teaching, and in verse 1, it says, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also. This is 70 more on top of the 12. And sent them two and two before his face into every city and place, whether he himself would come. And if you jump over to verse 9, you'll see part of what he told them to do. And heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Now, one of the things that we can easily deduct from verse 9 is that when they were ministering to these people and these people were being healed, and then they stood up and they made a declaration, the kingdom of God is among you, that tells us that healing is a part of the kingdom of God. So people that say things like, well, you know, healing's not for today, it's impossible for it to not be for today, because if healing's a part of the kingdom of God and we are in the kingdom of God, that means healing is still alive today, if you will. And I wasn't raised to believe that, but, you know, if you just study Scripture, you can see it's true. And I know that that's a challenge, because, you know, at that point, then you start asking about, well, then how does the healing manifest? And this isn't a teaching tonight on healing, but I just wanted to point this out. So we see the 12 that Jesus said go out, so they go out into the different cities and so forth, and they're, you know, preaching the kingdom, as Jesus said, and healing everywhere. And he also gave them the power to, you know, raise the dead and so on, and they did that. Well, here we see these 70, and he sends them out two by two, and he tells them, heal the sick that are they in, and say unto them, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. Well, if you jump ahead to verse 17, it says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Now, the structure of this sentence is interesting, and I know that in the English it's different from the Greek, but they came back to him, and they're giving him this report. And in the report, they said, even the devils are subject unto us. Well, we could rephrase it like this. And not only that, but even the devils are subject unto us. Okay, well, not only that, what? And even, meaning in addition to. Well, what are you talking about? Well, what did he told them to do? Go out and heal. So it's almost like they were saying, Lord, we did what you told us to do. We went two by two into these cities, and we preached that the kingdom is at hand. And not only that, but we did what you said. You know, bunch of people got healed, and even the devils were subject unto us in your name. And they were, there's like this element of shock and surprise in this. And Jesus goes on to say, well, you know, it's more than that when it comes. Don't get caught up in healing and casting out devils. You know, be glad your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So we see two circumstances here where Jesus has sent people out to minister. He says to the 12, go out two by two, heal, you know, raise the dead, preach the kingdom. The 70, and what's interesting is that the 70 weren't identified as apostles. These are just 70 people. The 12 were the apostles. You understand that? Well, these people are just 70 others. So, you know, maybe you're not called to be an apostle, but you're called to be another. Maybe that should be the title of the sermon. You're called to be an other. But anyway, he sends the 70 out. Now, why did he do that? Well, in part, if you remember what happened, he spent all night in prayer, comes down from the mountain, and he gets all the disciples together, and out of all the disciples, he calls out 12. And he appoints them to be apostles. Well, not only did he have an intention of using those who were called to be apostles, but he had the intention of using those who were not called to be apostles. So it's almost like he sends out the 12, and they come back. Now, if you're with this bunch that's traveling with Jesus, you know, in your mind you might be thinking, well, that's pretty cool, man. It'd be neat to be one of those 12, you know, one of the apostles, because they went out there and got a bunch of people healed and, you know, they cast out devils, all this cool stuff. Man, that'd be neat. Boy, I wish something like that would happen to me. Then one day Jesus says, okay, everybody gather around. And he goes through and he says, okay, I want you to count off by twos. And so he picks out 70. And he tells them what to do. Now, if you had had the mindset that only apostles can do this, and all of a sudden now here you are, you aren't called to be an apostle, you're just an other. And he tells you to go out and do the same thing? Wouldn't that be pretty exciting? Because you had been thinking that's only for the apostles. Now all of a sudden you realize, well, for crying out loud, even others get this. So you come back with this incredible report. Jesus, this is so cool. We went out and did what you said. And people got healed. And not only that, but devils got cast out. But Jesus, we thought you were the only one that could do something like that. And then we thought only you and the apostles could do something like that. Now we find out it's anybody. You don't have to be an apostle just as long as you're an other. You can do this. And it talks about Jesus rejoicing with them and so forth. Now jump over here in Luke to chapter 24. You know, in these cases where Jesus sent the 12 and then he sends the 70, he gave them power to go do that, did he not? Well, obviously he did because the scripture says so. Well, now here in Luke chapter 24, what's happened is Jesus has been crucified, he's been raised from the dead, and it's really close to where he's going to be ascending back up to heaven. And he appears before, well, Judas has killed himself, so, you know, he's got the 11 disciples remaining. But he appears before them. And he says, we'll just jump ahead here toward the end of the chapter, verse 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Now I want you to think about that. Hadn't these guys already received power? Hadn't they? Because it says that Jesus called the 12 and gave them power to go out and do these things, and they did. Then it says he calls the 70 and gave them power to go out and do those things, and they did. And now he says, go to Jerusalem and tarry until you be endued with power from on high. But I thought they already had power. Well, here's the thing. If what he had done for them when he sent them out, sent the 12 out, and then when he sent the 70 out, if what he had done for them, giving them that power, had stayed with them, then he would never have looked at them and said, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power. Now what that tells us is that the power he was able to bestow unto them, the 12 and then the 70, was only temporary. It did not continue, because if it had have continued, he wouldn't have said, go to Jerusalem and tarry until you be endued with power from on high. Now look over in Acts chapter 1. We'll see a variation of this in verse 8. Jesus says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." So what we're seeing then is a different way of presenting what we just read over there in Luke 24. Tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high, and you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So Jesus was able to do for the 12 and do for the 70 something, but it was only a temporary something. And he looks at them and he says, and I'll just kind of take some liberties here. Now guys, you remember what happened when I sent you out as the 12 and the 70. You remember what happened there too. Okay, now, if you want to take this a step further, here's what you need to do. You need to go to Jerusalem and tarry until you be endued with power from on high, because you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now look over in Acts chapter 10. Do you think they wanted that power? Do you think that this was something that... Okay, let's think about it. Remember what happened with the fellow that had his son, and he took him to the disciples, and they couldn't cast it out. But they had just been casting devils out and so forth. I mean, where'd the power go? What's happened here? And right about then, they began to realize, and it would have been before that, but at some point, they came to the reality of understanding that what Jesus did for us here, you know, last week, it's not here anymore. Same thing with the 70. What Jesus did for us last week, it's not here anymore. Boy, I wonder if we can get that again. Because, you know, it sure was neat to see those people get healed. It sure was neat to see those devils get cast out. It sure was neat to see all these things take place. But now it's like, we don't have this anymore. But He does. You know, we want this. Wouldn't that have gone through your mind? Seriously. I mean, for crying out loud, if you go out and you do it once, wouldn't you like to keep doing that? But it was like it lifted. And so then Jesus, right before He ascends unto the Father, it's almost like He's saying, you know, you guys remember what happened back when? Yeah, we're the power. Yeah, we could go do these things. He says, all right, if you will go and tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high, then the Holy Ghost will come upon you and you shall receive power. You mean the kind of power that we had when we... He goes, well, yeah, but not only that, but it's going to be the kind of power that I operated in. And they're thinking, oh my goodness. You mean the power that was so great upon you, you were able to share a little bit of it with us temporarily? If we go to Jerusalem and we get endued with power from on high, if the Holy Ghost, if we just do this, just go and tarry, and then the Holy Ghost comes, we're going to receive this power. Is this what you're saying, Jesus? He says, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Okay. Well, Jesus, why don't you just go on up so we can get on the way to Jerusalem here? Now, that's not exactly what they said, and we know that. But it might have been. Because if you've walked in that kind of power one time, you sure want to know what's it going to take to get some more of that power, because there's still a bunch of sick people out there. There's still a bunch of devils, limiting people that need to be cast out. There's still a bunch of this stuff out there going on. And so I want some more of this power. And Jesus says, well, you can have it, but, you know, you got to be like me. He said, Jesus, what do you mean I have to be like you? Acts chapter 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So Jesus was saying, listen, God the Father has anointed me with the Holy Ghost and power. Remember there earlier in Luke, He talked about the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me, you know, to heal and deliver and set free and so forth. And so He's saying, you know, the Holy Ghost, the Father has anointed me with the Holy Ghost and power, and I've done all these things. Okay, now guys, listen to me. God will do the same thing for you. Tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power, until the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you will receive this power, and then you'll be able to go out and be witnesses unto me, or you will testify to the world of what I can do for, in, and through an individual. And so they go to the upper room and they wait, and sure enough, it happened. So the same thing that God did for Jesus, He did for them. Now I want to ask you a question. At what point in the past 2,000 years did that change? At what point did God shift direction and decide not to do that anymore? You say, well, you know, I always heard that. Now wait, now stop. Before we go any further with the I always heard, what scriptures do you know of where it says in here that this is only a temporary situation? Now see, I was raised to believe it was only temporary. I've shared this before. I was raised to believe, you know, only the apostles and so on and so forth. Well, after you dig in Scripture, and I mean, if you look in the Bible, you just start reading in Matthew, just read through the whole thing, just read it in order, there's nothing in there that says that. And what that means is, the very thing that started, if you will, on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, it's still available today. Doesn't mean you have to hear a rushing mighty wind and see cloven tongues like as a fire and all that. But the experience is still there. Now, I'm looking at this, and as I'm thinking about it, Jesus, if you remember, He made the statement, well, turn to it, I'll show you, just read it. John chapter 14. You know, a verse we've looked at so many times in the past. Jesus said, verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And we've talked before about how that, you know, so many people get caught up on the, and greater works than these shall. It's like we focus so much on the latter half of the verse, but yet so many of us don't even believe in the first half of the verse. If you don't believe in the first half of the verse, how in the world can you get to the second half? You understand what I'm saying here? So therefore, if I believe on Him, then I will be able to do His works. Believing on Him means believing in what He has said. He said, you'll receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Yes, but Brother Martin, that was only for the apostles. But there was about 120 people in that upper room. And they weren't all apostles. In fact, there were women in that upper room. You do know that, don't you? It's recorded in the Scripture. The type and shadow was when He first sent out the 12, the apostles. But then when He sends out the 70 other, we have no idea what their position would have been in the kingdom of God. Were they to be pastors? Were they to be evangelists? Were they supposed to be maybe teachers or prophets? We don't know. We have no clue. Maybe helps, maybe governments, we don't know. All we know is they were 70 other. And it was like Jesus, remember, when Jesus came here to earth and began His ministry, the Bible states that He went about preaching and teaching the kingdom of God. Therefore, in the kingdom of God, based on what Jesus demonstrated and taught, it's not just apostles, it's others. It's others as well. And then He says, look, if you believe in me, the works I do, you shall do also. So if I believe in Him, then I must believe in His words. I must accept what He has said as being true. What did He say? He said, you'll receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And it wasn't just in the upper room. In Acts chapter 2, we see this event with the Holy Spirit in other places in the book of Acts as well. So here I'm thinking about this. And I realize that whether I want to accept it or not, this is true. Now let's think about the conditions of the people that we read about, the 12 and the 70. How many of those 12 and how many of those 70 were born again? Not one. And believe it or not, there are people out there that teach that there were people in the Old Testament and that got born again before Jesus came along. It's impossible. You can't get born again until somebody's paid the price for your sins. You don't. And Jesus is the one that did that. So, you know, come on. Think about it. None of the 12. In fact, remember, Judas was a part of the 12. None of the 12 and none of the 70 were born again, let alone born again filled with the Holy Ghost. They weren't even born again. And look what they did. Well, yes. Well, yes, what? How are you going to explain that one? Well, that was what? What was it? It was Jesus trying to send a message to the church. But not only that. As I'm thinking about this, and I'm meditating on it, the Lord began to speak to me. And I'm going to read to you what He said. That whole thing there in Luke chapter 9 and Luke chapter 10, where Jesus, you know, none of the 12 and none of the 70 were born again. Listen to this. The Lord said, this was a declaration to Satan. If Jesus could temporarily impart such an anointing on lost people, how much more could He release through people who share in His same spiritual nature and are filled with the same Holy Spirit? Let that sink in. And I, you know, in my mind, I'm trying to, you know, see the image of this, you know, the motion picture of this whole thing. And I just see Jesus. He calls the 12 and He says, I don't know how He did it. He just says, I give you power. Go do it. Now, do you remember when Jesus came up out of that water when He was baptized? And God said, this is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. All you have to, if you want to know what God sounds like, just watch the Ten Commandments. And so, He gets led out into the wilderness, and who shows up? Satan. Why did Satan show up? Because as soon as He comes up out of the water, it says the Holy Spirit led Him into the wilderness to fast for 40 days, and He had that face-off with the devil. Why? Because God had just said,
this is My beloved
in whom I am well pleased. And so Satan saw that. Listen, when Jesus was born, and all these angels show up, and they're singing glory to God and hallelujah and everything else, and telling the shepherds the Son of God. No, you don't think Satan, you know, saw that? And you don't think he watched that kid growing up? He tried to kill him when he was 2 years old. Remember that? He tried to kill him. Didn't work. Because the angel warned Joseph, pack up and leave. They're trying to kill him. Well, Satan's been watching Jesus. And for basically 30 years, nothing happens. Then all of a sudden, the baptism, the voice, and off he goes into the wilderness. And Satan says, I'm going to handle this one myself. The rest of you devils, you sit back. This one's on me. It worked in the garden. It'll work in the wilderness. So he shows up, and he gets shut down. Shut down. And the Bible says that the devil left him for a season. Meaning the devil came back at different times, in different ways, and so on and so forth. So now here's Jesus. Now he knows that Satan is watching what all is happening here during His ministry. And so He calls the 12, and He says, fellas, I give you power. Go out and do this. Now you think Satan just sat around and did nothing? I'll guarantee you, he gathered together some of his, you know, top devils, and he said, we're going to follow these guys and find out what they do. So when the 12 come back and they give a report to Jesus about what they did, I'll guarantee you the devils came back and gave a report to Satan. Satan says, all right, what happened? They did exactly what he told them to. He says, what do you mean they healed people? They even cast some of us out. They even raised some dead people we had killed. You're kidding. Well, a few days go by, Jesus calls the 70. And same thing. The anointing or this power eventually lifted off of these guys. Maybe, you know, when they came back to report, it lifted. But at some point in time, it lifted. But one thing's for sure, Satan watched this and he's thinking, this isn't good. He was able to do that. Well, Jesus goes to the cross and he dies.
And Satan's thinking, okay, no problem now. You know, he said, if you believe on me, the works, you know, that I do, you'll do what? Well, he's dead now, so he can't give anybody any more of this power. The guy's dead. Well, boom, Jesus raises from the dead, and before he takes off, I mean, he's getting ready to ascend, and he says, oh, guys, one more thing. Tarry in Jerusalem until the Holy Ghost shows up, and you shall be endued with power from on high. See ya. Off he goes. And you know Satan's wondering, okay, what was that all about? Well, day of Pentecost, rushing mighty wind, cloven tongues like a fire, speaking in tongues, filled with the Holy Ghost, and power. And they start doing exactly what Jesus said. And Satan recognizes what's going on. He sees these guys doing what Jesus did, and Jesus isn't here. He's in heaven. And so Satan recognizes, it's the Holy Spirit that's doing this. Jesus went to the Father, they communed together and sent the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit is carrying out their instructions, and he's doing for people what Jesus did, but he's not just laying an anointing upon them, he's filling them with it on the inside. And they're doing these things. We're in big trouble. No matter how hard we try, we can't stop the Holy Ghost. But if we can't stop Him, maybe we can stop them. What do we do? What do we do? What do we do? I got it. Let's make them, however we can, get them to not believe that this is possible. And yet, for 2,000 years, he's watched every time somebody, John 14:12, meaning they believed this. I don't mean they just said, oh yeah, that's true. I mean they believed it. It happened. Same thing gets repeated over and over and over again. Continually. And I can just see Jesus kind of snickering. I'll send out the 12. Then I'll send out the 70. As a type and shadow for the church, that it's not just the apostles, but it's others. And I'll just kind of sit back and watch this happen. And I know Satan's back over here behind this rock, peeking around, watching. And Jesus, it was like he was sending this message into the camp of the enemy. You're going to have to keep dealing with me for the rest of eternity. Because it will be me, Christ, in them, the hope of glory. And the same Holy Ghost that anointed me is going to be anointing them. And they're going to go about doing good, healing, delivering, casting out, and so on and so forth. So the best thing that Satan can do is to get us to believe it doesn't work. Now here's where I'm getting where I'm headed in all this. This is a truth, and it is a reality. The part we struggle with is the believing aspect. Jesus said, if you believe. Okay, well, I believe. I'm born again. And then I believe and I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. And then I believe that, okay, I can pray in tongues anytime I want. But what's one of the responsibilities of the Holy Spirit? It is to lead and guide into all truth. One of the truths that He wants to lead and guide us into is you can do what Jesus said. Therefore, the more that I spend time praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues, is the more the Holy Spirit is going to be able to work on my unbelief. Because I don't have to ask for a show of hands. Even a crowd this size, if I were to say, I know you're born again, I know you're filled with the Holy Ghost, I know you can pray in tongues, but how many of you really believe that God wants to do this in you? And some of you would say, well, if I got to be honest, I question some of this. Because I've never seen it happen. Therein lies the problem. You're basing what God has said on what you've experienced, not on what He said. So as long as you base it on the experience, yeah, you probably live in defeat all your life relative to doing the works of Jesus. But when you understand that the Holy Spirit has been given to us to get us to this place, see, He knows that we struggle in the area of what we believe. He knows that. And it's like the guy that said, you know, yes, I believe, but help me with my unbelief. And he says, if you will just pray in tongues, there's an anointing in that prayer that will help you get past the unbelief so that you can do these things. Now, again, think. If Jesus could do that for 82 lost people, the 12 and the 70, how much more us who we're seated with Him in heavenly places? How much more? So it isn't that God's holding back. He's giving us, has given to us, everything we need to get to where we need to be used by Him like this. If we do not allow the Holy Spirit, remember, He's a key factor in this. If we do not allow Him to do His part, why should we just think it's going to happen? You say, well, I've been praying in tongues and I still don't see a thing. Then you haven't prayed enough. You say, I think I've prayed plenty. Are you seeing it happen? No. Then you haven't prayed enough. You telling me I still have unbelief in me? Yeah. Remember the guys that came to Jesus and they said, why couldn't we cast him out? If they had already known the answer was unbelief, they would have gone straight to the heart of the matter and said, how do we deal with the unbelief? But they didn't. They didn't think they had any unbelief. Same thing today.
Well, why can't I get him healed? I pray. I put my hands on him. I, you know, dabbled oil and everything. But he gets still sick.
Because of your unbelief. If you believe the works that I do, shall you do also. So we go back to the Holy Spirit who's been given to help us in this. Jesus, he fired that shot at the devil with the 12 and the 70. He sent a message to him. Do you know how terrifying it is to the camp of the enemy when somebody gets born again and filled with the Holy Spirit? They fight so hard to keep us from coming to the place of believing that we can pray in tongues. Then, if we believe that, they fight us so hard for the time to pray. And then they work on our doubt and unbelief. Meaning, well, see there, you prayed, ain't nothing happening, must not be real, so why pray? Yeah, that's right, it makes sense to me. Why pray? It doesn't work. And God said, wait a minute, read my word, it does work. I said if you pray in the Spirit, you'll be edifying yourself. I said if you pray in the Spirit, you build yourself up on your most holy faith. I don't know what else I can tell you. If you do this, it is inevitable you're going to get the results. Guys, Satan has pulled one over on the body of Christ. If we aren't praying to continue on the path to get past the unbelief to the point to where we have a flow of anointing like Jesus talked about, then what we've just identified is the fact that Satan has snookered us. Because I don't care how much we say we do, don't, or in between, the fact remains that what God has said will stand the test of time. Therefore, if we do this, eventually we're going to get the results. Here's the thing. It's hard for us to believe we've got that much unbelief on the inside of us. But that's the only answer. Now, you know what really compounds this? You say, what's that? It's all these churches out there that, number one, believe in being born again, but they won't even tell you about being filled with the Holy Spirit, and they will deny the words of the Lord that we can do these things. And then it's the churches that believe in being born again and believe in being filled with the Holy Spirit, but will tell you you can't pray in tongues anytime you want. Again, denying what God has said in His Word. Then it's the churches that believe in being born again, believe in being filled with the Holy Spirit, and even believe that you can pray in tongues by choice, like God has said. But they don't stand up and they don't tell the people this. You know, just like those 12 and the 70, they would have wanted to know, okay, look, how can we get this again? And Jesus said, upper room, Holy Ghost, okay, yeah. And you know they would have wanted it. You know they would have. And yet today, you have, now listen, this is not an exaggeration, hundreds of millions of Christians around this planet who are in churches that have no clue to teach these things. That means that there are hundreds of millions of Christians that Satan has been able to blind. Now here we are. We've got the answer. All we have to do is apply it. And it works. Praise God. It works. I can remember when I first started hearing all about this, and I'm studying the scriptures, and it's like, yeah. If I do this, then eventually these things are going to start happening. And they have. They have. Healings, miracles, things have happened, yes. It's like, gee whiz, man. It sure would have been nice to have known this sooner. And what's really bad is, again, if you have a church that believes all these things about, you know, born again, Holy Ghost, and, you know, speaking in tongues, but yet they don't even know, or if they do know, they don't teach the people these things because they're afraid people will leave. You know why they're afraid people will leave? Listen. They're not afraid that people will leave. Listen to me. I'm going to let you in on a secret. They're not afraid that people will leave. They are afraid the giving will go down. If you had 10 multimillionaires in your church, and each of them were giving $1 million a year into your ministry, hey, as long as those 10 are there, who cares who hangs around? Now, I know that's an exaggeration and an extreme, but I'm telling you, that's exactly what's going on. It takes intestinal fortitude to stand up and tell people the truth and know that you've got a boatload of Christians out there who don't want to receive it, and they will walk out the door and never come back, and they will take their money with them. That's where you have to trust God. Go figure. Yes, but we've got a building project going on, and you expect us to trust God? Well, as a matter of fact, yeah. And what's interesting, Jesus wasn't too concerned how many people kept following him. Remember that? He preaches truth. A bunch of people get mad about it. We're out of here. That's a hard saying. Who can handle that? See you later. And Jesus looks at the 12 and he says, you going to go too? And they say, nah, we'll hang around. You got the words of life. And the Bible says that there were people who supported them out of their means. Well, he wasn't concerned if all those people... He wasn't concerned if they all left him. He turns around and says, you're going to go too? In other words, I know if you leave, you take your money with you. But I remember when I was in the wilderness and I had fasted for 40 days, the angels came and they ministered unto me. So even if God has to send angels to minister to me again, I know my needs will be met and I will still accomplish what the Father has sent me to do. So you're not going to stop me from preaching truth just because you take your money and leave. And so you've got preachers out there that won't tell the truth, even if they know it, because they're afraid they're going to upset people and people will leave. Well, I'm sorry. Jesus said the gospel would be an offense. An offense because there are people who don't want to hear it. Now, Jesus sent the devil a warning. Now here we are today, the benefactors of the result of that warning, if you will. Born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. And if I will spend time in that prayer fellowship with the Holy Spirit, these things are going to happen. I will be one of the 70 other. I will be another. You understand what I'm saying? And so will you. This is for the entire body of Christ. And I want to encourage you tonight. Take this to heart. Take it to heart and know, this is for you too. Years of religion maybe have taught you otherwise, but according to the Word of God, it is for you today. You say, well, Brother Martin, I've got some questions about that. I was never raised to believe in all these things, and I just don't know if all this stuff is for today. It's not a problem. I have a teaching series entitled, Our Tongues and the Gifts of the Spirit for Today. If you will get that series, I show you from Scripture how that they didn't die out, the gifts are still for today, tongues are still operating, so on and so forth. I address so many of the different arguments against it because I was raised with a lot of those arguments. And I show you from Scripture how that so many of those teachings are wrong. I don't just give you a bunch of opinions. I show you in Scripture how these things were wrong. I'm telling you, this is for today. It's for today. And it's for every one of you. The hardest thing, I say it like this, the hardest thing for God is to get us to believe it. So I know this. I have nobody to blame but me if I'm not getting the kind of results that the Bible says I can get. It's my fault. If I were to go to Jesus and say, well, Jesus, I'm the mighty pastor. How come these things? He would say, because of your unbelief. No, Jesus, ha, 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 ha. That's funny. Tell me the truth. He says, Jim, because of your unbelief. But I'm a pastor. He says, yeah, well, I'm the Christ. Because of your unbelief. What should I do? Well, you know what to do. For every one of us, the answer is the same. Every one of us. I want to encourage you tonight. Believe this. Even if you're not seeing anything happen right now, even if you're not seeing the kind of results you think you should see, even if you don't feel anointing or feel power, even if the last 30 people you prayed for, you know, died, you know, like, they didn't get any better. Listen, you can't stop. You can't stop. You know, those guys, they tried to cast that devil out and they couldn't. They didn't give up. They continued following Jesus. And then they went to the upper room to get what they needed. They didn't stop just because of a failure. Don't stop just because you don't see it now. Don't stop. Keep on. Keep doing this. And the day is going to come, you're going to get the results. And when you start getting the results, it'll probably shock you as much as it does the devil. But praise God. Hallelujah. It'll be happening. Amen. Everybody stand.